Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 29th. Joining us this morning, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Yeah.
I'm doing okay. Sitting here in my head, just cruising along.
Good, good. We have got our new book, Ever Wonder Why? And if you are ready for your question this morning.
Send it to me.
Ever wonder why
no.
A woman who pays her own way on a date is said to be going Dutch?
I used to know that, yeah. But I don't know it now.
The expression originated in the 17th century when the Dutch and English were both business and military rivals. During that period, the English held the Dutch in very low esteem, and this was reflected in many of their expressions. A Dutch bargain was a one-sided deal. Dutch courage was courage gotten from a bottle. And
right.
A Dutch nightingale was a frog. So if
frog?
A man asked a woman, if a man asked a woman out and then let her pay her own way, the woman was said to be receiving a Dutch treat, and the couple were considered to be going Dutch.
A Dutch treat.
Yes. Had nothing to do with wooden shoes.
No, certainly not.
Oh. Well, in the spirit of the month, I thought we could talk a little bit about how people deal with change. Whether it's change, because, we've been going through that with the Chinese virus and the different edicts coming from the federal and from the state and from the county, but also the just dealing with the concept of change overall, as we've all have gone through it, some of us to a greater extent than others. How do you deal with change?
Well, there exists in the human condition a circumstance called homeostasis, which means a state being a situation of balance in our head, our heart, and our gut about the three questions. Who am I? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? And so we have that kind of balance in our head all the time. And when change comes along, then we have to change our homeostasis to accommodate the change. And that frequently introduces emotional distress. I don't want to. You can't make me. It's not fair. I shouldn't have to. That sort of thing. So when change is inevitable, then it's useful to adopt the philosophy of accept, adapt, adjust, accommodate, appreciate, and get on with it. But that means a mental set of preparing to accept the changes.
Now, I would suspect with that, there are those that deal with this on a far more regular basis. Change is my middle name. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And it's just they don't lock into any one particular situation. I'm thinking of some of the professional athletes that get traded.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Kind of it's part of the game, and they kind of know that going in. So is it the anticipation? Could that be another A in our list here to anticipate?
Well,
change?
Yeah, if you're a stock market broker, for example, you know that when you go to work, everything is about change because stuff happens on the stock market in microseconds. That's the way the traders work. And you can, as you said, anticipate changes up or down. And then you have a plan for what to do if things go south on you. In an ordinary sense, in the day, if you go out to your car to go to work and the car doesn't start, well, now you've got a problem. How do I get to work? What do I do with the car? But you can have a plan for that ahead of time. Call my boss, tell him my car is inoperative, and I can't come to work on time. I have to get a cab, or I have to call to get the car code, So having a plan ahead of time about potential changes is important. So thinking ahead is useful. Most of us still, you know, if you have a reasonably reliable car, then that plan is either non-existent or in the back of your head. So that has to do with planning ahead about potential stuff. If one of your family members gets sick, you have to think about what to do about the illness. Take time off of work, go to the doctor, take the child to a pediatrician, that sort of thing. So having a plan ahead of time about possible change is very useful.
Now, a lot of what I understand is the way people learn is through modeling that others provide. So if you come from, let's say, a household that deals with change, you know, professional change on a regular basis, is that something then that becomes normalized in the kids and other family members? Or are there certain personalities that just are easier to adapt, that look forward to change and the challenges associated with that and the fun exploration and? Because you've also got the others that will only order cheese pizza and a plain hamburger, and that's it, and don't hit me with ketchup.
Yeah, some families are open to change by their philosophy. They recognize the world is not necessarily a stable place that they can use their daily routines over and over again. But that change happens, weather happens, mechanical equipment breaks down, the washing machine goes haywire on you. And so people recognize that change is inevitable. Circumstances change. And if you teach that, talk about that with your children, then you kind of immunize the children against change is a bad thing. Change just is what it is, and you have to adjust and adapt to it.
Well, like military families, as an example, that could be another one rather than the professional sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. Things will change when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. This morning we're talking about change as we're approaching the month change also, huh? Starting into February.
Right. How, end of the month.
Yes. Encouraging and discussing
another
change.
Another thing about change is how fast things happen. It's the end of the January already, and I can remember when it was the end of November. Getting ready for Christmas, and now it's end of January already. So that has to do with how fast time flies. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. So change is inevitable, and paying attention to time means looking ahead to predict some things.
I suspect that if you are looking forward, if you're a change embracer, okay. And then you've got the other folks that, you know, and I don't know, I suspect that it's related. We move from one house to another and we still have boxes that haven't been unpacked 20 years later.
Oh.
Okay.
The old unpacked boxes trick, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting because it has to do with how we deal with our daily life. And there's the gotta have it right now, pots and pans, and then gotta have it later, maybe unpack the camping equipment, and then there's stuff that comes way later, like unpack Christmas, and it's already end of January. So that has to do with planning about the immediacy of what needs to be paid attention to. And you can train children to pay attention to that, like stuff that happens at school, what changes happen at school. Now we're doing COVID. Sometimes schools are open, sometimes they're closed, sometimes it's a mixture of school at home. So with school at home, then parents are in the driver's seat about how they deal with the homework, the learning, and they schedule some of that with their kids.
Well, I suspect that that's probably the biggest change that we've dealt with this year is dealing with the virus, and change or disruption with various families and routines and everything. At what point does change become routine?
Some of that depends upon two things. One is your job. Like I said, if you're a stockbroker, then change is routine because that's the nature of the business. But the other thing, at home, change has to do with an attitude about I'm okay if I'm set in my ways and everything runs according to what I think it should be, which is not going to happen. So part of that is about attitude and accepting that change is inevitable. There's a big change and a little change. Little change, like the way it's raining today, for example. So there's little change in what we wear when we go out. And then there's a big change about if the storm floods the bridge and we can't get there from here. And so all this has to do with past history, what we've dealt with in the past, and how we've dealt with it, and what we can predict about the future. And predicting about the future is some of it's relatively easy and some of it is impossible. But making predictions about it is interesting because then it brings up, brings up conversation about what to do if certain things happen.
Well, we've got, you know, big change could be relative too. I mean, if you're in third grade and you're having to change schools, big change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big change.
If you're someone who's employed and you're getting a bump up the ladder, so to speak, and that means you have to go into work a little bit earlier, that's almost like desired change rather than having something put upon you.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about work change. If you're on a carpenter crew and you're a regular nail hammerer and the lead man moves or dies, or changes, and then they select you to become the new lead man. Now, all of a sudden, your relationship with all the team members changes. Now, basically, you're their boss, and instead of going out for a beer afterwards and celebrating, you're in a position of, what do I do now? I have to tell these guys what to do. So there's oftentimes some disruption there with the new responsibilities. So that's one of the reasons that some people refuse the advancement because it means the relationship with their fellow workers changes drastically. Just because you're good at what you do doesn't mean you're good at managing people.
Right. Isn't that called the Peter Principle?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, or certainly it's related in there in that whole equation. They talk about how people are creatures of comfort. I would suspect that routine is considered comfort for most of us. Is that an accurate assumption?
I think so. It has to do with the familiarity and the maintaining of homeostasis, and we have a routine, and the thing about routines is when you do that routine, you know what the outcome is going to be because you've done it before over and over and over again. So you have a predictable outcome. And then when you do that, you expect the outcome to appear, which is fine. So you sit down after work for a beer and watch the news, you expect some comfort in being able to sit comfortable, have a beer, watch the news, talk with your family, that sort of thing. If all of a sudden the phone rings and your neighbor says your car's on fire, well, that goes with the team.
Forget the beer. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Lou, in looking at moving away from comfort into excitement, I guess would be the change in that routine. We can use the restaurant as a reference. We go out, let's say if it's to our favorite Mexican place, there's two choices for me. I don't need the menu. It's just, what do I want? Do I want this or do I want that? Don't confuse me with additional choices because there's an expectation. Okay. Go to a new restaurant, no expectation other than really broad-based, and then it's easy to look through the menu.
Yeah.
So is this a reflection of comfort or is this avoidance of risk on my part?
Well... I don't like the hot chili sauce.
Point.
I had a bad experience as a young man with that. Someone said, "Hey, this is good. Try this. It's got seeds in it." Well, crack the seeds open with your teeth. And I did. And, of course, the fire started. So I'm sensitized now to what kind of food there are if I go to a Mexican restaurant. And most of the time I know pretty much what I'm looking for. A beef burrito is fine. And so I have a comfort level there with knowing the familiarity of the foods I like at that particular restaurant. If I go into a brand new restaurant, then, like you said, I need to look at the menu to see if there's anything on there that rings my bell. And if there's nothing on there that rings my bell, then I go for something relatively innocent. Risk avoidance.
Well, one of the things that I have done in that scenario where, you know, different restaurant, different city, unfamiliar, is just ask the waiter, what do you eat? And find out.
And they say, I don't eat here. The food sucks.
Yeah. That's a clue. Or if it's something that's really, really way out there, okay.
Pack it up, go to a different restaurant.
Right. You know, if they say, well, I really like spicy and... It's like, well, okay, that's the antithesis of what I want. I'm very much more into nuances than I am.
If you say I really like spicy, and they point out three spicy things, then do not order those.
Right. Is there a waiter who doesn't? So, you know, I think it's always a little wise to do that second-level question. But, you know, when you find yourself in unfamiliar circumstances, obviously changes now happen to you. How do you start kind of developing some beachheads of normal or of comfort so that then you can kind of start down that process path of developing a working ability in that situation?
Well, there's a certain amount of trial and error with that, particularly if you're eating at a new restaurant. And so you do the best you can to avoid what you know you don't like, and then there's all these other opportunities to do something new, and you can try something new and it's absolutely wonderful, or you can try something new and it's And so you can have that experience with a new restaurant. You can have that experience with a new date, too, by the way.
Well, when you were saying that, I was flashing to clothing. I'm told that there are certain colors that I look better in. However, I do not like those colors.
And black and white.
It's kind of like an ongoing challenge. You know, is it what I feel comfortable with, or is it what presents the best? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's funny how, as individuals, we can get locked into something as, I'll call it silly, as color of clothing.
Right.
I mean, you know, I just do not like the color blue on me. You know,
right, don't wear blue then.
Yeah, you know, the whole IBM, you know, suit and that. Now, I will like it as an accent, but as a dominant, no, I just don't, for whatever reason, no.
So you're limited to blue ties, and that's about it.
Yeah, exactly, or if it's a light blue. But the dark blues, I just not there. So how do you recommend folks adjust if they are looking for that, or adapt, I believe, was one of the words that you used also, adapt and adjust. How do you do that internally as well as receiving external support?
Well, if you don't like blue and you buy yourself a electric blue suit, you're stuck with something you don't like.
Right.
So don't do it.
Okay, so but if you do say, okay, you know, I've had 15 people tell me this, there's something going on here, I want to pay attention, all right, I'll try something.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
is
you,
it...
You can try electric blue suit and see how it works. And everybody else goes, oh, you look fabulous in that. And you say to yourself, I hate electric blue. Don't do it.
Okay.
Make yourself happy.
Feel comfortable in being in the minority position.
Well, you have to consider your choice as a minority position, but your choice is your choice. You don't have to make other people happy with what you wear. I mean, you got to wear something, or everybody's going to lock you up.
Right. Well, no, and I don't think most people feel comfortable not having something to wear, so that is an option, is pretty limited also.
Yeah.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of comfort, we all strive to achieve it. And then when something happens, then we try to strive to recover it. Are there little coping mechanisms we can do along that path of trying to find comfort that are like the mini rewards, kind of like, you know, those small little square candy bars? Instead of getting the full 4-foot candy bar, you know, they give out at Christmas and at Halloween. Just a nice little, okay, you're on the nice path, a little self-reward that you to help re-encourage going down that change path?
Sure. You can do mini rewards. And you can plan ahead for larger rewards, like vacations.
Just have to put it out there in front of yourself?
Well, you have to put it out in front of yourself. If you and your wife say, let's go on a vacation, and you say, I want to go to the mountains, and she says, I want to go to the seashore, and you hate getting your feet wet, well, you're in trouble.
Well, then you wear your electric blue suit to the beach, right?
That's one opportunity, yeah. That's true.
You may get put away in the aquarium.
But there you are.
I would suspect keeping a little humor about you during change also is a nice coping mechanism.
Yeah.
If you aren't naturally humorous or don't laugh an awful lot, what else is out there that you might be able to use as a substitute?
For substitute for what?
For humor or for laughter or you know, that just as a way not to get too serious about losing weight or a new job or a new school or things like that.
Well, humor. Humor is cathartic for the soul, but it doesn't always work. So you got to be careful about what you use humor about. Sometimes it's better just to talk about options instead of throwing humor at something. So what else can we do here?
Just as a way to of distraction.
Well, normalizing the confrontation about what change is.
Because it really is a confrontation oftentimes between what you want and what you have.
Yeah.
As you go through the aging process, does it tend to become easier for folks to adapt to change or less apt to adjust to change easily?
Well, some people, by their nature, having lived this long with what they've got, don't adapt well to change. They're rigid in their thinking and rigid in their experience. So when change comes along, it's a big slap up the head with ice water. And the lesson for them is to lighten up and do something else besides fight it all the time. And if you're going to look at some inevitable change, look at the options you have for how to apply it and how to use it. If you get a new job and all of a sudden you get yourself all comfortable in the job and then they change your job description through no fault of your own, and then you're going to have to make some adjustments about how to deal with a new job description.
Right. Kind of like computers when they came on 20 years ago for those folks that were 60 at that time.
Yes. I know it well.
Well, hopefully you're going to enjoy your weekend and know it that well also on Monday. Thanks for popping in this morning.
Sure thing.
All right. Thanks, Lou. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. See you on Monday.